Welcome to another TRL podcast. The data collected from road collisions has built a knowledge base that shapes the regulations and standards that keep UK roads safe. However, with the growth of progressively autonomous vehicles, the range and the nature of these sources of data is expanding and providing a higher resolution picture of safety. With the number of road casualties plateauing over the last decade, is it time to review current safety monitoring to embrace the opportunities that new technology can deliver? In this podcast, two of our experts discuss the journey ahead and the steps that need to be taken. As usual, we ask them to start by introducing themselves.
I'm Camilla Fowler and I'm Head of Automated Transport at TRL. I'm really interested in this topic because although my focus at the moment is on automated transport and preparing for an automated future, my background is very much in safety. So I'm keen to see road safety improving now, but also being maintained and improved in the future.
My name is David Hind. I'm Chief Scientist for Safety and Investigations at TRL. I've worked for a long time in safety and things like road collision investigation. So I've seen some of the traditional approaches to road collision investigation and the application of all of that information into making vehicles and roads and road users safer and reducing the casualty burden in the UK and elsewhere. So this is now very much of interest to how we can apply some of the things that we see from automation and make further advances in safety. Road casualties have plateaued for the last decade or so, and there's things that we can do to apply the learnings that we're getting continuously through that period through programs like RAIDS that TRL runs on behalf of the Department for Transport. So that's the Road Accident In-Depth Studies with detailed on-scene and retrospective collision investigations. But I think it's also time now to look at what we could do over and above that with new information that might be available from vehicles or that we could build into vehicles so that they can enhance what we're able to do at the moment, and we can build on that knowledge base that's been so important for developing regulations and standards and improving road safety, reducing casualty numbers. So Camilla, what would you like to see happen with the advent of automated vehicles?
So I think the automated vehicles or the introduction of automation onto our network gives us a real opportunity to look at collision investigation and look at the findings from, you know, when things go wrong and feeding that into sort of the approval process. So by understanding the cause of collisions, we can then understand what is it that we need to validate automated vehicles against, what are desired or undesired behaviours that the automated driving system needs to follow, and what do we need to monitor within the vehicle to make sure we've got that continued safety whilst the vehicle's in use. So it's a different way of looking at it. It's using the data that we've got and that we should be gathering now to inform that approval process and to ensure that actually we understand and can predict when a collision could occur through sort of lead indicators or, you know, behaviours that we know lead to collisions, so that we can intervene and prevent that collision from actually being realised. So historically, road safety has been a very sort of reactive approach. We have a collision, we wait for it to be investigated, we put in measures to prevent that collision from happening again. What automation does and what connected vehicles do is they enable a more proactive approach to be taken. So actually, what are the behaviours that we're seeing that could lead to a collision? What are the things that have almost happened but weren't quite realised that we can intervene with and actually put measures in before a collision happens? So a much more sort of proactive, preventative approach to road safety rather than waiting for something to happen and then having a reactive approach.
And that's surely got to be a really important contribution to heading towards things like Vision Zero. So zero fatalities and zero serious casualties on the road network.
Absolutely. I think automated vehicles try and make that more of a reality. But also the collision investigation and investigating and understanding the root causes on a much wider scale than we're currently doing at the moment will give us a much more in-depth understanding of the root causes and be able to put in measures to actually combat that risk and drive those casualties down, an edge towards Vision Zero.
So one of the things that will happen is we go from entirely human-driven vehicles through a growing number of automated vehicles, and that will doubtless grow over time. And you can imagine a future in which we only have fully automated vehicles, but we'll have a long period where we've got that mixed human and automated traffic. And so I think there's an awful lot that we will need to learn as we go through that about how the human-driven and the automated vehicles interact safely. So how do we learn about how the two understand each other? So at the moment, you might wave somebody through, for instance. The automated vehicle can't do that in the same way that a human driver does. So how do we learn about how well the interactions are happening and how we define better how those interactions should happen so that we simply understand each other? I understand what the automated vehicle is trying to tell me with its flashing of its lights or whatever else it might do to indicate something to me. And conversely, it understands what I'm going to do as well.
So I think what we maybe will be seeing is a change in the collision types. What we're seeing now with manually driven vehicles could change when we've got mixed traffic with manual and automated. And then again, there could be that step change again when things are fully automated. And understanding as we go, learning, you know, what's happening now, what happens when we have mixed traffic and then in the future, and feeding that into the CAV approval process. So what scenarios are we going to be validating automated vehicles against? What are the behaviours which are contributing to collisions? And what should we be monitoring whilst the vehicles are operational seems really key to have that sort of continuous improvement loop and that framework supporting collision investigation. So, you know, we still are going to be needing to investigate collisions and preferably all fatal collisions or life-changing events. But feeding that into the approval process, so it's very iterative, and we respond to the changes in traffic behaviours and collision types.
Yes, so understanding whether the bar has been set at the right level in ensuring safety of the automated vehicles, and some of those slightly peripheral subjects like those communications between human and automated vehicles. So what's the human-machine interface essentially for that communication channel? And making sure that if we haven't got that quite right, we understand that and we can make changes that improve that safety level.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, automation is something that people look at, you know, in the future. But I really feel that we need to prepare now for that automated future, understand collisions and investigate them now to feed into that process. So actually, when we have the deployment of automated vehicles, we already have an approval process that reflects what actually happens on the road now, that is continually sort of updated and very iterative, but actually does reflect the real world. But sort of going back to what you were saying originally, David, about road safety statistics, collision investigation and understanding those root causes now can really help us to put in the right measures and drive those collisions down.
So Camilla, what might a future road collision and investigation framework look like?
So this is the million-dollar question, really. And I think this process has already been worked through in the initial stages of the CAV approval program that DFT are doing at the moment. But what I'm imagining is that we have collision investigation, we have safety monitoring, so in-use safety monitoring, and they work together and they feed into a CAV approval process, including what scenarios should we be validating automated vehicles against. What are the behaviours that are desired or undesired, which would very much reflect the findings of the collision investigation. And what should we be monitoring sort of whilst the automated vehicle is in use? Now, if there is through in-use monitoring, in-use safety monitoring, we see that actually there has been a behaviour that's been demonstrated. We kind of need to we need to investigate that as well. So not just investigating the collisions, but investigating the undesired behaviours. You know, what could have happened and what do we need to do in terms of sort of updates or developments to intervene and prevent that collision from being realised. So, it's really understanding why a collision is happening, feeding that into safety monitoring, feeding that into the approval process, and having that sort of cycle of shared information where, you know, there is that continuous improvement.
So this would be building on the current sort of retrospective investigation of collisions with a more proactive approach, where that's possible, where the automated vehicles and the sensors and the data recording that they have enable a more proactive approach. That would facilitate a different way of looking at collisions for ones that already happen, and a different way of looking at collisions that don't quite happen. Is that the picture?
Absolutely. And I can see this being very beneficial, for road safety, understanding collisions and driving those numbers down, but also really beneficial to the software developers. So where we've got shared information and information that can be accessed, if there is learning from one vehicle type, that then particularly sort of safety critical information should be shared with another developer so that actually they're learning from each other. There shouldn't really be that sort of commercial advantage in terms of safety or, things that could cause collisions. That information really does need to be shared.
So there's a speeding up of the safety learnings that come from doing this, but also an additional power in sharing that information, sharing that learning to make sure everybody has the opportunity at least to learn from the incidents or near incidents that are happening to everybody else.
And I think even just by developing additional scenarios, so where you've got your edge cases, for instance, having that scenario generated, which then, automated vehicles are validated against, just means that we've got that real spectrum of things that you may come across. So you're not having to drive the millions of miles in order to come across things. Actually, one person or one vehicle has come across it. It gets fed into the scenario database, and then another developer will validate against that scenario. So it's really pushing safety and improvement forwards.
Yes, and I think it's important that this is done in the UK. I guess other countries will look at similar things, but the driving norms, the driving behaviours are different in different countries. So that interaction between the automated vehicle and the human-driven vehicle will vary from place to place. The signage, the infrastructure changes. And of course, we drive on a different side of the road to most places where automated vehicles are being developed. So I think there's a real need to have a real local focus on this kind of information gathering and sharing.
I think there is a lot of scope from learning from other places, though, seeing what is being done, what has, what's worked, what hasn't worked, and not trying to sort of reinvent the wheel, but learning lessons from other people globally and tying it in. I mean, apart from anything else, we want to make sure that we maintain and encourage that interoperability. So when people come to the UK, they are as safe as we'd expect UK vehicles to be. And the approval process is as good and as robust. Encouraging that sort of interoperability and that movement of people from one country to the next is also really important.
So why now?
Well, for automation, preparing now means that we have a much more robust approval process that reflects, the root cause of collisions that are happening now. In terms of in-depth collision investigation and expanding what we're already doing, as you say, through the RAIDS program. Why now? I think it's really sort of why not 10 years ago? You know, we've plateaued in terms of road safety statistics for the last 10 years. We need to be doing something now and, you know, to drive those figures down and bring the casualty rate down.
Yeah, absolutely. And the it takes a long time to bring new designs of safety structures and restraint systems and so forth through into production and therefore into the fleet. And then it takes a long time to change, to churn over the fleet. So that there's definitely a strong imperative to bring this as forward as fast as possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of people across the industry who've been working at, you know, well, what needs to happen in terms of collision investigation and what would it look like? And, you know, there's a lot of support for this happening and for it happening now. And I think probably the initial step is to, first of all, sort of agree that this is actually a priority, but have a good understanding of what has already been done. For sort of your standard sort of vehicles, manually driven vehicles, and also what is being done in terms of sort of in-use data and how we can use that data. But sort of pooling the resource and the knowledge from across the UK and globally to really understand what this should be looking like. So one thing, David, I'm really interested in, you know, your opinion on is about which collisions get investigated. Is it practical on the outset to investigate all collisions or fatal collisions? You know, what's your opinion on that?
Sadly, for the roads, we have an awful lot of collisions, of course. But I think it would be practicable to investigate all fatal collisions and maybe all life collisions that result in life-changing injuries. That seems like a minimum place really to start to, if one's going to look at this very, very comprehensively, that would be a good place to start. And of course, over time, as you start to address those, the number of those comes down. That's the intention. And then you can broaden out the scope and continue investigation over time, less serious collisions. But also splicing in the non-collisions, the incidents, that the almost collisions that you were talking about earlier, and learning from those as well, I think is the other end.
And
of
I
that
suppose
spectrum.
As we learn more and we're improving road safety, the number of collisions that needed to be investigated would be falling over time.
Hopefully, yes.
And with the introduction of automated vehicles, you know, again, that improvement in road safety, reduced numbers of collisions to investigate. I mean, I feel quite passionate about this collision investigation and making sure that CAV approval process really reflects real world. And, you know, we have a robust process for automated vehicles. But what do you think we need to be doing now? How do we actually make this happen as an industry? To really improve our understanding. I feel really passionate about having this sort of collision investigation unit or framework, really having a robust CAV approval process, improving road safety, reducing casualties. And I've been sort of mulling it over, thinking, well, how do we actually make this happen? I think we need to consult with people. I think we need to collaborate. I think we really need to pool knowledge across the industry. I don't think this is a one-man band. I think this needs to be a lot of partners working together and really driving this forward, you know, as an industry. Sort of after your opinion on this, really, I mean, is this the way to go, where we see people all working together and using our existing knowledge to create this framework?
Yes, I think collaboration is key for this. There's a lot of different stakeholders with different sets of knowledge and different objectives. So I think collaboration to really understand what can be learnt from the vehicle, how you might record it, what metrics you might extract from an automated vehicle that can feed into this process, and how that can be applied efficiently and rapidly. So both in terms of updating regulatory requirements, for instance, or other standards, feeding back directly to manufacturers and developers of automated driving systems so that they can learn quickly and make changes and make improvements quickly. And so that the community as a whole can benefit from the safety learnings that come through this sort of approach. And ultimately, that means that society benefits, right? That the objective is safer roads, a reduction of casualties, of fatal injuries and serious injuries, and ultimately down to zero fatal and serious injuries.
Well, I think this has been really quite reassuring, David, to chat with you about this vision for the automated future, really be able to discuss with you the importance of this collision investigation now, both to sort of, you know, drive down casualties and also to prepare for the future. I think this is exciting times. It's exciting times for road safety and, you know, really, really keen to be central to driving this forward.
Yes, there's a huge opportunity here to make a real step change in difference in casualties, and that means a difference to people's lives, and you know, other things like a difference to the economy and so forth. So yeah, an absolute pleasure to discuss this, and yeah, the time is now.
Thank you for listening. Please find a growing collection of TRL podcasts on our website, trl.co.uk. Thank you.